How do you create great questions for your podcast interview with a guest? Here's what's worked for me. So the first thing you need to do is have a mixture of head and heart questions. But what do I actually mean by head and heart questions? Well, first of all, the head questions are more of the questions that will give you and the audience facts. And if you have a guest on who's an expert at something, for example, evolutionary psychology, the head questions will be asking a specific query about a certain topic that the guest has studied that they can explain to you and the audience. So it's basically just facts, their expertise, and it's not very emotional. And they're not likely to talk about any stories from their lives or from things that they know about. It will be more about the facts, what happened, when did it happen, why it happens, how it happens. They're the kind of head questions. And then the heart questions are the more emotional, the more anecdotal questions that is more personal to the guest, to the person you're talking to. And they're less likely to speak about facts when you ask them these questions because you'll be trying to understand more about them, their life, their journey, their mission, you know, some of the struggles they've been through, some of the problems they've had in their lives. They're really questions that will hopefully help the guest open up. And why is this important and why does this matter? Well, if you just had the head questions where you're just asking them to regurgitate, memorize facts, then you're not going to likely let the listeners experience the true extent of this guest's life, really, because the memorized facts is just one aspect of their life. You also have this emotional aspect of their life where they've been through certain hardships that the guests, that the viewers might have also been through as well. So if you just ask them facts, it'll be quite a boring interview. It'll be quite robotic. It'll basically be like a lecture that the audience is listening to. Whereas having a few heart questions where you try and open up the guest and ask them how they feel. So how do you feel about this? When was the last time you cried? What has been the hardest point of your life and how did you break through that? What are some tips for that? These heart questions will give the audience more of a connection to the guest. And we have such a story bias just naturally as humans. We've evolved to connect and memorize stories. Having the guest open up and tell stories about their life will make the interview 10 times more interesting for yourself and the guest and the audience. And the more interesting it is and the more connection the audience have with yourself and the guest, the longer they're going to listen to your show, which will increase your retention, and therefore the algorithm will push it to more people. So that's why it's super important. And if you're new here, I'm Jacob Watson-Howland. I'm an award-winning BBC featured photographer who started a podcast from their bedroom, and I've generated over 3 million views across all social media channels in 3 months. And using these tactics I'm going to show you throughout this video and other videos, I've been able to secure dream guests like SpaceX co-founder Jim Cantrell, wildlife filmmaker and Nat Geo presenter Bertie Gregory, as well as countless other National Geographic photographers, including Steve Winter, Tim Flack, best-selling authors as well, and leading neuroscientists and academics. I try and get outliers onto my show to give myself and you advice on how to improve our lives and understand the world better. So in terms of questions, obviously, trying to get them to talk about their lives is important, but they might not feel comfortable doing so. So here are some tactics that I've used to help the guests open up and feel more comfortable doing so on the show. So first of all, in terms of the order of questions, it's best to start with a head question, a question about their expertise. So if they were an expert in the First World War, for example, which I've had a few guests come on to talk about with me, you would start with a question about their expertise in World War One. So if they were an expert in a particular battle, you would ask them about that battle. You wouldn't start the interview with, so what was the hardest moment in your life? And could you tell me more about a death in your family and how you responded to that? It could work if the guest is confident, but you want them to ease in to the show because they'll have nerves, they'll be a bit tight, their vocal cords wouldn't have warmed up yet, they'll be slightly on edge, and giving them an easier question that they can just regurgitate from their memory will help them ease into the show and therefore answer better questions and answer the heart questions better once you get to that point. So I wouldn't start with the emotional, vulnerable heart questions. I would start with a factual, expertise-driven head question. And another good way to get them to open up a bit more on your show is to say something about your own life, your own vulnerabilities, before asking them specifically about theirs. So you could say, oh, I've always struggled with social anxiety as a teenager, and give them an example. So for example, for me is like after class and during break times and lunch times, I'd go to the toilet, not to use the toilet. I'd actually go in there to decompress and cool off and try and get rid of this anxiety I had just from being around, being in school and being around people. And then you'd say, do you have any tips for dealing with social anxiety? Are there any moments in your life where you felt anxious, and how did you overcome that? Instead of just asking them, have you had anxiety? How do you deal with that? By being vulnerable first, it makes them more comfortable at being vulnerable back to you. It's almost that reciprocity, which is built in human nature. You've given them something by being vulnerable, and now they feel more obliged to give it back in return. And it feels like they're less on the spot when you say it first, because you've already been vulnerable. You've already put a potentially embarrassing or sensitive topic out there to the guest. So they're going to feel more comfortable doing it back to you as a consequence. And it's always good to do a lot of preparation before your podcast to generate good questions. You don't want to go overkill. You still don't want to know everything about the guest. You don't want to spend, you know, 12 hours a day all week before just religiously analyzing every part of the guest's life, because it's going to be boring for you and you're going to know the answers to their questions. So there is almost a balance. I feel sensitive saying balance, because not many things really are balanced, but there's a fine line between not doing enough prep and doing way too much prep. And a good way to get that balance, or try to get that balance, and be on the line between a good amount and a low amount of prep, is to actually use free AI tools to help you with the guest research. But before you do the AI tools, which I'll tell you about in a minute, you need to read about the guest and watch videos about the guest if they have any. So for example, if they're a best-selling author like Stuart Binns, who I had on my show, then you would read his books, or at least skim through some of the chapters in the book. You try and find videos on him, or watch some of the award-winning documentaries he's made. For example, World War II in Color, which won loads of awards, which he made, as well as being a best-selling author. And then you would find some spontaneous questions that come off the top of your head. This is all before the AI research. So what you'll naturally find you end up doing is you're reading an article about them, and then a question will pop up in your head, and then you just write that down. You don't think about it. You don't, you know, critically assess whether it's a good question or not. You need to just turn your fucking brain off and write the question down, because it's almost like a gut reaction question. It's called I call it a spontaneous question. And often the spontaneous questions are the best, because it's just an instinctive question that your brain wants to ask the guest, and you don't need to think it through too much. Then after you've finished doing the spontaneous questions, after you've maybe read a few chapters of their book, watched a few videos, then you go on to AI deep research task. And what this does is, the whole point of it is to collect as much information about the guest as possible and then get AI to summarize it for you. Why does this matter? Well, it means you can save a lot of time. You could save hours, because it trawls through everything about that guest on the World Wide Web and summarizes it for you. And it also means it doesn't go too deep into the topics about the guests that they're an expert in or their life. Because again, like I said, if you have too much information about the guest, there's not going to be much new things for you to talk about and new things for you to learn about, which will make the conversation more boring and worse. And that will be reflected through the audience listening back to it, because they can probably tell that you know the answers to the question and you're not actually that engaged and you're not reacting surprised when they say something fascinating because you already knew that about them. So by getting AI to summarize everything for you, it will leave out a lot of deeper points about the guest, but it'll give you enough information for you to ask the guest more about that topic. Do you see what I mean? So it will summarize a certain point, and then you can ask the guest more about that point without knowing the answer to it, because you've only got 10% of the information about that part of their life or that topic. So I have many AI templates that I use continuously, which saves me even more time. And if you're interested in accessing those, as well as a step-by-step blueprint of how you can improve your podcast and start one from scratch, first link in the description for that. But what I would include in the AI template, if you don't want to access that community, and I totally recommend you to do so, because you can literally get live weekly calls with me, as well as the video course and the templates where I can help you and give you personalized feedback on how to improve your show. But if you don't want to do that, then I would try and ask AI to include a biography about the guest, some key topics on their expertise and things like that as well. And then try and go onto ChatGPT and use one of your free deep research tasks, because you get, I think, 4 a month. And then on Perplexity, you get 3 a day. And deep research is better because, again, it goes through loads of different sources. It can go through like 60 to 100 sources, whereas on the normal non-deep research AI search, it's only like 10 sources. It'll still give you enough information to ask the guest, but it won't be as in-depth, and you might miss out on some cool topics to ask the guest. So what you do once you get the answer from the deep research is you'd read through it, and then again, you'd think of some spontaneous questions to ask from that reading. So you're still coming up with your own questions at this point, but you're using AI to get more information about the guest that you would have missed without it. So once you've done that as well, so you've collected quite a list of spontaneous questions, you're not going to use all of these and you're not going to use them in the order you've done. But now, to get more questions and to get better questions, or to make your questions more simple and more summarized, is you'd plug that into AI and you'd plug the guest information into AI again. And you would create a AI-generated question list, which will have a lot of different head and heart questions. But this is the problem. You need to prompt the AI to ask a certain amount of questions and in a certain order. And again, I have a template that will run you through this. And all you have to do is put the guest's name and then press search. And then the question, and then it will do everything for you, because I've put in the hours of work to curate the perfect prompt for the specific task. Link in the description for that. But a few tips that you can do to improve the list generated by AI is to make sure the first question is attention grabbing. The reason for this is you want there to be a hook. You want something to hook the audience in. And if you start with a boring question, then a lot of people are going to click off. Most of the time, people give you 20 to 30 seconds, even in a podcast, even in a longer form piece of content. The audience is unforgiving. They will turn their brain off and go on to the next thing if they don't find it interesting. So you need to make sure the first question is the most attention grabbing, maybe even controversial or just interesting. And then once you've come up with a question like that, or you've got AI to come up with a question like that, you will use that question as the title, not directly. So it won't match the hook question identically, but it will be directly related to the first question. Why is this important? Well, the thing is if you title your podcast something completely different to the first 30 seconds, the first question, then that's going to create a distrust in the audience. It's going to unconsciously upset them and make them disengage because they click that title for that exact reason. So if they don't get that instant gratification from the first question, because the first question is completely different to what the title promised them, then they're going to be disengaged and they're going to click off. Because why would you name the title of your episode something that you talk about 2 hours in? Most people aren't going to listen for 2 hours. You need to make sure the title matches the first question. And then once you do that, the audience is going to trust you more and therefore want to stay on for the rest of the show. It's just simple, effective way to increase your attention on your show. And I have many examples of where this has worked. And the most effective way I've done this so far is with SpaceX co-founder Jim Cantrell. On that episode, the first question I asked him was, what was it like meeting Elon Musk? And then the second question was, what was the early days of SpaceX like? What did I title the podcast? SpaceX co-founder, the early meeting Elon Musk and the early days of SpaceX. This is my most popular video whilst I'm recording this so far. And it's probably because, obviously, you know, two really interesting topics, meeting Elon Musk and SpaceX, that obviously helps. And the big name guest helps drive more traffic in. But it's also because the title was exactly matched with the start of the podcast. So the audience trusted you. They got that dopamine from finding out more about what the title promised and therefore watched the rest of the video. And therefore, the algorithm pushed it to more people because the retention rate was higher. Super simple. So make sure when you're doing an AI question list that you ask it to make the first question super attention grabbing and give you some title examples which could help you match them two together. This should only take a few minutes, by the way. It will literally, you'll do this and then you'll press enter and then it'll come up with a great question list. And you want to also ask it the length of your conversation. So if you think it's going to be 90 minutes or 60 minutes, you need to tell AI that because it might give you too little or too many questions when you create the question list if you don't specify the timing. You also want to include the fact that you want a lot of head and heart questions. So some questions about facts and their expertise, but also questions about their life, and hopefully open them up and be a bit more vulnerable and emotional. That's super effective. And again, if you want every single step and you want a perfect question list structure, which goes through different arcs and helps increase your attention, that is available in my Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint as a template, which you can copy and paste into AI. First link in the description for that. But final few tips for asking AI to generate a question list is make sure you ask it to be engaging. Make sure you include some simple questions as well as some more deep questions. Also some questions that emphasize why this topic matters or why they matter as a person, because that will help increase your engagement and make the listeners more engaged, really. Because if you don't have questions like why does this matter, it's going to again decrease the retention, because you might ask them a question and the audience might be thinking, okay, that's cool, but like, well, how does it benefit me? So including questions that say why it matters will make it more applicable to the audience listening, because then they can be like, oh, okay, this is why it matters, and therefore that's probably going to matter to me for that reason as well. So just including those key questions about why the topic they're talking about is important will help the audience apply it to their lives more. And if you say, why is this important, they're likely going to explain why it is applicable to everyone. Whereas if you didn't include that, they might just regurgitate some facts, some head answers, and not actually make it applicable to the viewer and the listener. So it's being even more specific, you could ask AI to make sure you include some questions that directly apply to the listeners and to the audience, because that will increase the chances of the guest applying their knowledge to the benefit of the viewer and will hopefully mean the viewer is more satisfied after listening to your podcast and will listen to more episodes in the future or some more episodes that you've already posted. That's what we want to get. We want to create questions that show the best of the guest, create a good vibe and a good conversation, but also create some emotional vulnerability, because that'll create a better connection between everyone listening and everyone involved. And we also just want to make sure that the listeners are satisfied with the guest's answers and the topics discussed, which they can either benefit to them or at least it's given them some new knowledge. We either want them to help it improve themselves or help them understand the topic better, especially if it's a more educational podcast. So make sure to include that in your AI question list prompt, and the AI will create some genuinely great and genuinely awesome questions for you to ask the guest in your episode. And in terms of like ethics, I can imagine a lot of people that aren't used to using AI being like, "Oh, this is unethical. You don't care about the guest. You're just doing this. Like, this is just lazy. This is just stupid. Just think of questions yourself." Well, my defense and argument against that is, you know, why wouldn't you use this tool? It's super fast, super efficient, super effective. And the questions AI give you, you don't have to ask. Only include the questions that you would ask the guest and that you didn't think of. So, you know, one mind isn't as effective as 1,000 minds, i.e. AI, probably 1,000,000 minds. This, think of it as your assistant who can help get more questions in half the time, in 10 times less time. It saves you hours of work and helps you ask questions you would genuinely want to ask the guest but didn't think of off the top of your head. It gives you that almost insurance whereby that you didn't think of that question, but you still would have asked them that question if you'd thought of it yourself. So my advice to that is basically only include the questions that you genuinely want to ask the guest. Don't include the questions that you don't like from AI. It's meant to just be a assistant. It's not meant to replace you fully. So when I go through the question lists from AI, sometimes there's a few questions that I'm like, I don't really care about that. But most of the time, about 70 to 80% of the questions AI gives are either questions I've already thought of spontaneously or are questions that I'd love to ask the guest but hadn't thought of myself. So it's a net gain because the questions are going to be more engaging. You're going to have more ideas, and a lot of the questions are questions you want to ask but haven't thought of yourself. So don't worry about using AI. And this will allow you to get more guests on your show at a faster rate because you won't be spending hours and hours and hours researching the guest and therefore not being able to record as many episodes and get as many guests on. You'll be able to get more guests on because you would have saved so much time. It's just automation just saves you so much time and allows you to record more episodes and therefore grow your audience faster. And then I also have something called meta questions. Meta questions are about two to three questions I have at the end of my show to, you know, close it off once we've gone through all the other questions, the head and heart questions. I'll be like, oh, just as a few questions to end. So it signals that the show's ending, the guest can relax a bit. And they're the same questions, basically. I have a list of about 10 to 20 that I usually recycle every episode. Again, if you want those, they're free as part of my Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint, which is a paid course, but all of the AI templates and the meta question lists, as well as video course that run you through exactly how to start a podcast and grow it and make it viral and gain an audience like I have in such a short amount of time, is available in the first link in the description. But basically the meta questions are general questions. They're not applied to the guest's expertise. My favorite one is, if you had one piece of advice for your 20-year-old self, what would it be? They're often, again, not related to what we've been talking about, but are aimed to extract some wisdom from the guests that myself and the audience can learn from. Another one is, what have you sacrificed to pursue your dreams? So they're more general, but maybe more philosophical, maybe more advice questions. Another one is, what 1 to 3 books have greatly influenced your life? So they're to do with self-improvement. They're to do with how can we benefit from the guest? Because just because they're an expert in a topic doesn't mean they have other nuggets of wisdom that they weren't able to share on your show so far because you've been asking them about a specific topic or about a story. They will also have another side of their life just through experience where they've read a ton of books and know which ones are the best to read, or they've lived long enough and experienced enough of life to give advice to younger people, especially if you're getting older guests on the show. So these are more experience questions. These are more life lesson questions. And I have them at the end just because it's nice and it's a good way to kind of decompress and, you know, end it with some wisdom that the audience can benefit from. And it also acts as a reward for the low or small percentage of listeners that have stuck with you the entire episode. So it's almost like a reward for them as well, because it's some of the best answers come from these questions. So if you leave them to the end, they're almost like a surprise, almost like a bonus questions. And that will increase the listener's dopamine in their brain if they made it that far into the episode, and will increase their chances of listening to a full episode again because they've been rewarded at the end of the show as well. A lot of us remember the peak. It's called the peak end rule. So you remember the most exciting part of the episode or the most exciting part of the holiday, and then you also remember the end of the episode, or the end of the holiday, or the end of the experience. Often that's the only two things we remember. So by making sure the end of the show, the last final questions, the meta questions, are super good, will again increase the chances of them listening to a full episode again, because they were like, oh yeah, oh, these Jacob's got a new episode out. Oh, I remember the last episode, the last few questions were awesome. So I'm going to listen to the full episode again, because hopefully there'll be awesome questions again at the end. And if you repeatedly use the same good few questions, that will guarantee the peak end rule being used for you and the guest being satisfied at the end of the show. And it also works because, the meta questions, even though it's the same questions most of the time, because every guest will have a different answer. Every guest is different. They've experienced life differently. They're at different stages of their life. And these questions are purposely generic to ensure that the answers remain different every single episode. So don't worry about using the same 3 questions every single time, because the answers will always be different, because humans are just very different and unique individuals. So a final few bits of advice for creating a question list and making sure they're awesome is obviously follow all the advice I've already said. But remember, the podcast is a conversation. It's not a traditional TV boring news interview. You're not going to be there reading every single question word for word. That is just an interview. That's not a podcast. Podcasts are spontaneous. They're conversation, and they often don't go the way you planned according to your question list. They don't normally follow the question list. A lot of the time, I only ask 20%, 40% of my planned questions, but it's always good to have the pre-planned questions as a backup in case the guest answers questions super fast or you have nothing to follow up with. But 80% of the time, you will either have new things to ask them spontaneously off the top of your head, because again, it's just a normal conversation. You'll have a lot of things to follow up on, or the guests will take the conversation a completely unexpected direction that you didn't prepare for, and you just need to buckle up and just follow up with questions or bring it back using the question list. So we're meant to be vibe architects. If you like the way the conversation's going and it wasn't on your planned question list, awesome. Just keep asking them follow-ups based on that topic. But if you want to steer it back to what you really wanted to talk about, you have that list of questions that you can read off your screen when you're interviewing them remotely. That will allow you to guide and curate the conversation the way you want it to. But don't read it word for word. Don't just stare at your question list and just read every single question. Just try and ask the best questions that you have on the list and really listen to what the guest is saying, because if you're just focusing on reading the next question, you're not actually listening to the guest. I did this in the first few episodes and obviously sometimes still make that mistake of the guest is talking and it's genuinely something interesting, but you haven't thought of any follow-ups to ask them. So you're kind of just like looking at the question list and just like not really listening to them. You're just kind of scrolling on your list, thinking of what next to say. And therefore you're not actually listening to the guest. But if you just sat down and just nodded and just genuinely did listen to the guest actively, you were actively listening, you were really engaged in what they were saying, 9 times out of 10, you have something to follow up on, or you have a story to say yourself, which is even better because it creates more of that back and forth natural podcast conversation that everyone loves listening to versus a boring, traditional, rigid, robotic interview. So the question list is there as almost like a backup, as a hard drive, as an assistant that you can fall back on if you don't have anything more to say on that topic. Don't read it religiously. Just focus on the guest and you'll spontaneously come up with some awesome questions. And like I've said in previous videos, it's all about repetition. It's all about doing more interviews. The more interviews you do, the more comfortable you feel on camera, the more comfortable you feel on camera, and the less you read off your screen, the more spontaneous questions you're going to come up with, the more effectively you're going to be able to do that, the more confident you'll get at saying things yourself. I mean, in the past few episodes, I've got much better at either summarizing what the guest says or adding something that they might find interesting or adding a personal story or just coming up with a really cool spontaneous follow-up that in the first few episodes I didn't, because I was just quite nervous. I was on edge and I wasn't confident in myself at following up and adding stuff to the conversation. So I'd just be religiously reading my planned questions. You're probably going to get that at the start because you're less advanced. But like what happened with me, the more episodes you do, more comfortable and advanced you become. So that is my advice on how to create awesome questions from your podcast, for your podcast, using AI to help you and assist you. And if you want some more in-depth advice and want specific templates you can use to ask AI, and you either just started your podcast or are starting your podcast and you have no idea how to go from zero idea of how to do it to a pro show, pro quality audio, pro quality video, awesome big name guest that you could only dream of right now, and get viral videos on social media and also make it past episode 21, which will put you in the top 0.1% of podcasters to ever exist on the planet, join my Pro Podcast Blueprint. It's a private paid community which has every single step that I've used and continue to use to make my show as effective and pro quality as it is today. And you can do it all from your bedroom using just a laptop and some headphones if you're really starting on a small budget. But obviously, if you do have the equipment, it's still applicable to you. And you have access to all my email templates, all my AI templates, which will save you hundreds of hours a week and a month, and will help you get results much, much faster. And you also access me on live weekly calls where I'll help you by answering your questions and go through your new podcast show and give you direct personalized feedback, which will help you get results 100 times faster. Right now, it is $47 a month, but that's only for the first 25 members. So if you're listening to this and the video's only been posted for a few days or a few weeks, then you can get it at this price. Once it gets past 25, then you will actually end up paying double. But if you get it first, it will be stuck at $47 and you won't end up having to pay more in the future because it's monthly, because it's also a community, which will, it's also a community for ambitious podcasters who want to grow their show. It's not just a video course. It's also got that community side. And the benefits of this is you'll be able to meet like-minded individuals, but also get advice from people who are slightly more advanced than you, and will be able to help you grow and also give you accountability. And yeah, you'll just be able to make more friends who love podcasting. And if you do want to start your own podcast, you're automatically a rare individual because not that many people actually do it. So if you want to join a community of like-minded, ambitious podcasters and you want the exact blueprint I've used to secure my dream guests and get viral videos, and also access to my AI templates, my email templates, my ebook, and join live weekly calls with me, to grow your show super fast. In literally 3 to 4 weeks, you'll have your own pro show and you'll be posting episodes even from your bedroom in no time. Join my Pro Remote podcast blueprint, join the top 0.1% and become an outlier today. First link in the description. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.